Welcome to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show and would like to hear more from us, give us a follow on your favourite streaming platform. Okay, welcome to the show, guys. Today we've got Rhian Atkins with us. Rhian is Director in Data and AI at Avanard and also co-founder of Women in All Things Data. First of all, welcome to the show. It's really nice to have you join us today. Yeah, welcome. And how are you?
Thank you. Yeah, it's great. Great. Thank you so much. It's great. Great to be able to chat to you. Thanks for inviting me on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I mean, we've got a lot to talk about today. I think let's dive in at the deep end. So, or in fact, you know, the shallowish kind of end. And let's get a bit of information about Avanard and kind of what service that provides or what service you provide there.
Yeah, absolutely. So Avanard's an IT consultancy. Global. It's focused on the Microsoft platform. So it's joint owned by Accenture and Microsoft. So we deliver kind of IT consulting services such as like modern workplace, digital transformation, apps and infra. And then where I work, which is data and AI. So, you know, that includes kind of designing and implementing data architecture, data science models, data visualization and kind of data strategy, kind of an advisory around implementing anything to do with data, really. Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. And I'm really curious to find out how you've got to where you are today in your career. I mean, what's your story leading up to that, starting from the very beginning?
Sorry, I'm the very, oh, wow, well, I'm not going to bore you with that.
Not the very beginning.
We all know how that starts. So, well, I come from like a maths background. So I did maths at university and I did kind of a sandwich course placement at a management consultancy firm, PA Consulting. So I've always kind of been in consulting and kind of in analytics, but it's changed, especially over the kind of last kind of 10, 15 years for sure.
Yeah.
I think we all know that. So, yeah, so I was at PA, then I went to, I was there for kind of six, seven years. Then I was at KPMG for a couple of years. And then I moved to a small data science company that actually got bought by Avanard, acquired by Avanard this year. So I'm still fairly kind of new to the Avanard, Microsoft Accenture world. That's kind of where I've worked. But I think, you know, kind of how I got there, I guess, is, I don't know, making sure that you enjoy what you do, enjoy who you're working with. I mean, I know that kind of sounds cliche, but, you know, you do want to put the hours in or want to work harder when you enjoy it or you enjoy the people you're working with, both internal and external. I like surrounding myself with people that are more intelligent than me. It doesn't take too much most of the time, but it makes me uncomfortable, but I think that's a good place to be because you're always learning then.
Yeah.
You know, if you're comfortable somewhere, people might feel good because they know exactly what they're doing all the time, but then you're just not learning. So my advice would just be don't like to feel comfortable. Like always kind of feel like other people, you're learning from other people. And that is a lot of the time it's people a lot more junior to myself because, you know, they are the ones kind of either fresh out of uni or fresh out of PhD, kind of, you know, learning and really kind of hot on the, off the press and like have a lot more time to investigate things than me. So yeah, that would be, I think that's why I've tried to kind of get to where I've got to is just, being that.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting philosophy. I mean, because a lot of people say that they never like to be the smartest person in the room. And it's, I think that takes a lot of confidence for one. But also the benefits of that is amazing because like you're mentioning, you know, you're always learning, you're constantly learning.
Yeah, but it is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's just not taking yourself too seriously either. I think so many people can, and it's so easy to do that. But just trying not to do that and just to check in yourself and just being like, everyone's human. Ask questions. There is no dumb question. If you're thinking it, someone else is thinking it for sure, even if they don't admit it.
That's true. That is definitely true. And then also you mentioned, you know, finding the right culture for you, the working environment. And that is hugely important because, you know, you've got to think about it in terms of, all right, you're doing the job, but then, you know, you're in the office, you're surrounded by these people. The cultures can vary like hugely. It's a huge sliding scale. And if you get into a business that's the wrong culture, and I have done in the past, or a culture fit that doesn't work, and it's totally different. You feel like you just do not feel like you fit, and that is such a bad way to, you know, feel empowered. It's like the opposite of empowerment. I can't think of what the word is, but
yeah, you just feel deflated. You don't want to work for them. You're not like inspired by them. So working with people that inspire you, whether they're, you know, your peers or junior or senior, you know, just being excited, you know, you're spending 5 out of your 7 days most of the time at work. You may as well kind of enjoy it. But I know obviously you're not going to enjoy every day and you're going to have to work hard, but you want to work hard for people that you like. So I couldn't recommend that enough, really.
Yeah. I do think one of the main things about how to get fulfillment from your job, I think it's sometimes a little bit overlooked, but I think the main thing is mutual respect between, you know, even your seniors and everyone in the business. If the person at the top has mutual respect for you and you do for them, I think that's such a great way to run a business. And it leaves everyone feeling like they're fighting the same cause and everyone feeling like they're empowered. And I think that's a huge part. I think that's a huge part of it. And then people,
yeah.
It seems that people would want to work hard themselves. They want to do the hard work. They don't need to be stood over with like, ruled with an iron fist. I was going to say whip, but it's a family show.
I went there.
Yeah, it's true though. It's true. And then people naturally, you know, adults naturally want to progress anyway. So if you let them, they will, usually.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not have said that better myself. But yeah, that's what I can recommend. If you're not happy, just leave. You know, even if you've only been there a couple of months, you will find places that you will be happy with. And do it and feel like you should, because you deserve it.
Yeah.
Especially because it's Mental Health Awareness Week as well at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And actually, I know we're going off on one a bit here, but this is a topic that I'm passionate about, because I've been there. I've been in a job that I really didn't enjoy, didn't fit in with the culture at all. And I stayed there for over 3 years. And that doesn't sound like that long, you know, in the lifetime of your career.
Oh, it does. But if you're not enjoying it, a week can seem like a torture.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And it just, when you get out of there, you just think, my God, why didn't I leave after 2 months? I don't know. I think there's definitely a fear of leaving and then starting and, you know, trying to find a new job. There's definitely that kind of fear. I mean, I definitely felt it. And
like, you think it's you, right?
Yeah,
or you
definitely
think like you're failing, or like, you know, other people are here, but nah, like, life's too short for that. Life is way too short. And I think if Corona's taught us anything, it's that life is short. Like, be happy.
And I do think as well, last point on this I'm going to make before it goes dark and I'm carrying on talking. I always think if you're scared of leaving a place where you're not happy working, I think that you'll always win. You'll always come out on top. You'll always find another job and it will almost always be better. So I think you've just got to do it.
Surely it can't be worse.
Yeah, that's true. But I want to talk about women in all things data. So you're the co-founder of that. And could you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, I set up with my colleagues and friends, Sarah Craven and Nina as well from Avanade. Well, we set it up actually when we were a small data science company back in 2019 called Altius, before we were Avanade. And the reason we set it up is a little bit linked, I guess, what we were just kind of talking about, just feeling comfortable, being able to have like a community where you can ask those questions and it's fairly informal. And especially in tech, like there aren't many women, you know, let's be honest, and that's no one's fault. That's just the way that the world works at the moment. So, you know, men working with men is really good. Men working with women is also really good. And you need to have that kind of women working with women to be able to ask the questions that, you know, maybe men can't answer or wouldn't ask or don't know. And so what we wanted to do was basically just kind of create that kind of community, which is, you know, where we can, and I'll kind of talk about what we do there, you know, in regards to events and things like that. But that kind of safe space or fun space, where you can ask technical questions, non-technical questions, you know, things about promotions and kind of advice for careers, advice for coming back after having children, you know, all of those kind of questions where you really want to have like a nice kind of trusted community where people are asking the same kind of questions or want to know the same kind of questions. But I just kind of felt like my kind of experience of a lot of gender diversity initiatives were kind of more formal and maybe, you know, felt more like work or like, you know, not in a bad way, but kind of a, sometimes a tick box exercise of like, well, we need to include people. But actually, you didn't really sometimes feel like you could ask some of the nitty gritty questions.
Yeah.
So that's why we kind of set it up, and then it kind of snowballed a bit from there. So the things that we kind of do are we have events. We were meant to have an big in-person event last March, but obviously had to get cancelled. So we've had quite a lot of kind of online events in the last kind of 12 months. Those are quite varied. You know, we sometimes have them quite technical. We sometimes have them for, you know, juniors and grads coming in. You know, we have it for parents, you know, all kind of different like events that normally we have kind of an inspiring leader or leaders that we kind of talk to about their experiences. And then we kind of invite people to kind of ask Q&A. But we also kind of ask the community, like, you know, what kind of things do you want to see? What kind of people do you want to see? And so I'm trying to make it really interactive, and we're doing it kind of with them and trying to help them as much as possible. We also offer a mentorship program. So we started this internally first, but it went really well. So again, I kind of, as I said, you know, a lot of times mentors aren't formal. Sometimes you just kind of informally, it just kind of generates in work. But because there are so few women, that women and women mentorship kind of relationship is just quite, it's hard to get a lot of the time because they're not quite as visible. Because I've had, like, some of my best mentors have been men. Because, and that's amazing. Like, but sometimes a women to women relationship can offer, you know, slightly different ways of thinking about things. It doesn't mean it's better. It just means having that diversity of thought to answer some of the questions you may have or some of the problems you may have, I think is really good. So we've got a mentorship program. We do events. We just help with kind of networking, just kind of informally. We have blogs. We try and assist in recruitment where possible, you know, showing where there are job adverts, training on CVs. We actually did an event last week, which was like a day in the life. So that was, you know, helping people understand from a high level, you know, kind of 8-10 kind of different roles in tech, and, you know, some of them more technical and some of them not. And then we also do a monthly newsletter as well, just to let people know what we're doing. But we also have like what we're reading, what we're watching, and what we're learning each month.
Right.
So that, you know, so like an interesting kind of book. So I think last month's might have been Matthew Syed, which is Rebel Ideas. So it was about the diversity of thought.
Excellent.
What we're watching was the Netflix documentary Coded Bias. Really good.
I've not heard of that.
Yeah, I think it only came on Netflix like last month, but it's really good.
Yeah.
It's about some MIT students and how they realized that actually facial recognition was hugely racist. Like if they put a white mask on, it would pick up their face. And so kind of looking into that and about algorithm league, basically, like making sure that, you know, trying to put some kind of structure in around what algorithms should and should be doing.
Is that a documentary, or is it a series or a film? A documentary?
Just a documentary. Yeah, I think it's about an hour and a half, something like that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah. I'll definitely check that out. Yeah.
Awesome. And then what we're learning. So sometimes we kind of recommend people that we know in the community that do like kind of just online kind of trainings. They might have recorded it. But also sometimes we just run our own kind of trainings as well for people if they want to learn things. So yeah, it's all just, you know, women helping women, but also men. They also really love to get involved, because a lot of the time for men, it's a really tricky topic. It's like, yes, I'm behind it, but, you know, I don't want to be involved because I don't want to be the man that's talking. But actually, we want to include everyone to help in the course. Yeah.
Oh, it's brilliant. That is brilliant. And I'm curious to find out what are some of the common, you know, common things that the community are bringing up. Is there any issues that keep arising, or what kind of things are kind of always coming up? Is there anything that comes to mind?
So there are a couple of things. So one in particular is just the fact that they really like they really like just talking to each other. So they really like being on events and just being inspired and seeing it. There's that kind of energy that you don't really get elsewhere. So just being able to see these inspiring women, you know, we get so many people in the chats or like emails and on LinkedIn and sharing it and things of just like, this person's so cool. Like, I can't believe I hadn't heard of them. And then being able to reach out and link straight up as well. Not that kind of elitism of, you know, oh, this person's quite senior, so, you know, I can't speak to them, that kind of thing. So that comes up a lot, just being able to see these like inspiring women in these amazing jobs that they just weren't aware of before. And a lot of people then, you know, they see themselves more, you know, they see more of a career path for themselves. And they, sometimes they didn't even realize it before. They didn't realize they didn't see themselves. And so that's just awesome because men are awesome. They, like, I love men and I love working with them. But sometimes obviously it's just good to have that kind of that different face in the room.
Yeah. And also what you're doing there is creating role models, you know. Yep. I think, you know, if particularly younger women are going to get involved in technology, it's really important for them to see successful women in technology doing the job, you know, working on it. And what's great about what you've set up is it completely levels the playing field for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can, that's one of the sayings is you cannot be who you cannot see. And so, sometimes you just don't even realize that, you know, both, you know, men not realizing that actually you got role models all over the place, but sometimes you don't even think you do. Mm. And women not realizing that they don't, because they just, you know, they can't really see themselves, but they don't realize because they never have been. And it's awesome. Like, the men love it as well. You know, they just love seeing it because a lot of the men I work with currently, you know, have young children. You know, sometimes they go into schools and kind of present and things, but being able to kind of point to other women, like, they, you know, they get such a buzz from it too.
Yeah. And I wanted to, if you can think back to when you first started in data and analytics, what was it like for you? I mean, did you have any role models or did you have any influences or mentors when you were coming in?
Interesting. So no is the answer. Right. I didn't have any female ones anyway. And I don't think I really realized. And then a couple of years in to my career, I remember someone trying to set up a kind of female, you know, networking kind of group. And I was very anti it.
Right,
I was
okay.
Like, nope, I've done this myself. I've got to where I've got to by working hard. I'm not going to take help from anyone else because we shouldn't separate ourselves. You know, we want equality. So why are we separating ourselves? And it took me years, I think, just to kind of to realize that actually that's not really the world that we're currently living in, unfortunately. And equality doesn't always equal the same. Mm. So that's something I've learned is, you know, because we're not the same and we're not currently working in the same world. Mm. Like, we are, but we're not, you know. So my husband would go to work and see people that look like him and sound like him. And, you know, he will have those role models, but I didn't realize I didn't even have them.
Mm.
Because so it's really weird that I've kind of completely flipped now because I didn't realize, and I was kind of being stubborn because I didn't want to take that help, because I thought that I was living in the same world. But I think of many years of experience of, you know, being like a maths graduate and then doing quite well, but being in meetings and people always assuming that you're the secretary taking the notes, you're booking the rooms, you know, so many of those things have happened. And I know that does, you know, not everyone is like that, but it's those assumptions that sometimes are made. And I think so many years of that, I was like, actually, I'm not quite working and living in the same world as my male counterparts, unfortunately.
Have you noticed over the recent years that kind of slowly begin to change, or is there still a hell of a long way to go with this?
There's definitely been a lot of change. Absolutely. And the amount of men kind of speaking out about it and being behind it, like genuinely behind it, is amazing. Like there's some amazing men who just kind of messaged me of like, you know, I want to help. I really do. Like, I'm, you know, I love what you do, that kind of thing, which I think kind of 10, 15 years ago, they just, you know, they wouldn't really have taken it seriously. They didn't really see it as their problem. But actually what we like to say is, rather than this is kind of, you know, gender diversity in tech or gender diversity in data, this is the future of data.
It is.
You know, there are no, you know, there are no resources in data. Everyone is basically pinching, you know, Paul to pay Penny. But if we expand and, you know, 52% of the population is female, then we will have so many more people. And so it's not women taking men's jobs. It's just making the pie bigger and making more jobs. And so I think men are really realizing that now, because that kind of culture has started to shift, and that's great. You know, it's not a taboo subject anymore. It's actually, this is really going to benefit me. It's not taking away from me, which is awesome.
So I've had this similar conversation with someone a while ago, and they were mentioning that there's a drop off at around GCSE level when, you know, girls are interested in mathematics and science and that kind of thing, and then there's a drop off when it gets to GCSE where they just go, I'm not interested anymore. And that's a really, really young age. But if you can provide role models for children of that age, you're effectively future-proofing, you know, the industry for 10 years' time to 15 years' time. But I think it has to happen from a young age. I think we could also focus on that demographic as well, who will literally only be in the industry in 10 years' time. But, like, that's when, like... Yeah. A lot of people, or a lot of those people, fall off. I don't know why that would be. Yeah. Do you have any ideas why that would be?
So we've talked about this a couple of times, actually, in different kind of events and things. And it'll be a whole host of reasons, right? But some of the things that we've kind of bounced around is, like, so at that time, you know, obviously it's puberty, and so people are, you know, emotions are going mental anyway. But, you know, people aren't really sure of who they are or what they want to be.
Yeah.
And so not having those kind of role models to even see, of, like, cool people that they can look up to, like, even if it's like cool geeky people, but, you know, like a 15-year-old boy, right, would look at Steve Jobs, right, a guy kind of 20 years ago when I was 15, and be like, he's really cool. I could be Steve Jobs. There was no one went like then. So it is definitely, you know, there are amazing people like Sheryl Sandberg and our CEO Pamela, and that are becoming slightly more visible, but we just need to make them more visible to kind of get that. Again, you cannot see, especially, you know, Instagram and TikTok and everything that's kind of young and cool, which I'm anything but these days, but, you know, to get in there so that people can see and be inspired, because that's when they're kind of, you know, figuring out, but also very kind of influenced by what they see. And if they're not seeing these people, then it doesn't even cross their minds. Mm. So I think kind of embedding that as literally just a route in as an option, I think will help.
Yeah, definitely. And there's an anecdote that's just sprung to my mind. There was someone else that I was speaking to, and they said they spoke to, like, their nephew or, like, their niece or nephew, and they were about 9 or 10 years old, and they said, draw me what you think an engineer looks like on this piece of paper and pen. And they drew a bloke with, like, a hard hat, with, like, big boots and, like, a big working, I don't know, what would you call it? A tool? A big...
Toolbox.
Yeah, a big toolbox or, like, a hammer or something. And that is totally, totally wrong. That's such a big misconception.
It's embedded so young. If you look at just, like, the clothes in supermarkets for, like, four-year-olds, you know, four-year-old boys is, you know, dinosaurs and ships and... tractors, whereas women, you know, girls, sorry, are, you know, I want to be a princess. I want to marry a prince.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Be the prince. Be the king.
Exactly. And I'm full of anecdotes this afternoon.
I love it.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and one of the women was saying they were, you know, driving around the city, and she has a young daughter, and one of the sign, you know, there was like a bollard on a sign where they couldn't turn left or something. And there was a sign that said, caution, men at work. And then the daughter was like, well, what about the women? Why are the women not at work? Isn't that just crazy how that still exists? That's, you know, in today's society. Isn't that amazing that that still...
Men are the default
in society. Yeah.
And I think we need to realise, and I kind of said this earlier, is like equality doesn't mean the same. Like women are not just small men.
Mm.
Like we work very differently. We think very differently. We have very different experiences. But that's good. And you just need that diversity. But yeah, at the moment, men are the default. You know, I adopted a dog last year. And so online, you know, searching for kind of ideas of training dogs and adopting dogs. And they always referred to the dog as a guy, as a male dog.
Right.
And the owner was always like, he will do this. And, you know, it was everything is always default. And it was weird because obviously we're talking about tech, but just we currently live in a men are the default, you know, when we say like, man, like we substitute man for mankind, but then, you know, and you don't want to be that person who's kind of picky and things, but you know, I'm always on so many calls and things and we do have quite a few female kind of directors, but still, like, you know, I've been on calls where, you know, the COO signs off like, oh, thanks gents. And I'm on the call thinking, yeah, no, I don't really, you know, quite feel part of this. You know, why? But it's, people don't mean anything by it. And I know that. And calling them out, sometimes you don't want to, because you don't want to embarrass people or make them feel like, you know, that they've done something wrong. But it's just kind of questioning that men are the default. Like, women are not small men. We think very differently. We work very differently. Our bodies are completely different. You know, just things like, you know, the iPhone is designed for a man's hand, you know, because men were the kind of majority of the engineers. When you've got your kind of AirPods, they're designed around a man's ear. And they may kind of sound small things, but when you get onto like, you know, car test dummies, you know, crash test dummies for cars, women were never, you know, because we have a very different makeup of body, we were never part of the crash test dummies.
Right.
We only started to be a couple of years ago, and that was only in the passenger seat.
What?
And so so it actually becomes dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, and in pharmaceuticals as well, a lot of the time there's only been men included in the trials. Women's apparently our biology is too complicated, and so they like to stick with men's, which is nuts, because if you look at the actual mass equations, our bodies are actually a lot more simple. But so it's kind of, these things are personified, and so catching them early and kind of questioning them may seem petty, but actually it's nuts where it kind of goes to.
It's bizarre, but what's great, I mean, I know there's still a lot of issues that are going on, but what's great is that, you know, people like yourself are really making, you know, a difference to this topic. And it's funny that you're on the podcast now, because earlier on today I had another recording with someone who hosts the Women in Data podcast.
Oh, amazing.
A lady called Karen Jean Francois. And it is great to see that the tech industry really does seem to have like an international kind of community. Do you feel that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just, you know, there's been very few kind of negative kind of people around it. All the people are always so supportive. You know, we just run it as a, you know, kind of just a not-for-profit organization, just, you know, people volunteering their time. And so many people want to volunteer their time. I've never had anyone say, oh, well, you know, you're going to need to pay for this or you need to pay for that. You know, it's just people just want to make this better, because it does make it better for everyone.
It does, yeah.
You know, it takes less pressure off men. You know, a couple of years ago, if men had tried to take off time for paternity leave, they wouldn't be taken seriously at their jobs. But if you had a female boss, especially... and you wanted to take time off for paternity, first of all, she probably wouldn't blink and just be like, absolutely. And second of all, you would get even more respect because you're seen as being a good person and being the force that we need to really change that equality balance between men and women, and not having that pressure on men, because not a lot of men, you know, not all men want to be the provider, right? But some of them must feel that pressure. I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah. I mean, isn't it interesting that, say, 5 years' time, let's paint a scenario. So, say, 5 years' time, if I walked into, you know, an office of, you know, a data engineer office or like a DevOp office or, you know, whatever, something in technology, if I walked into the office on my first day of work and saw, you know, two pods of desks filled with 10 people each and they were all one demographic, let's just say for argument's sake, middle-aged white men.
Yeah.
You wouldn't really, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you wouldn't really think much of it. You'd think that was fine. You wouldn't really bat an eyelid. But what's great nowadays is that, say if I walked into that very same office today or tomorrow and that was the situation, what immediately would go off in my head is something is like seriously wrong in this business and they're not doing it right, basically.
Yeah, but not because they should, but because, you know, it's proven that businesses work better. Yeah. Attrition is lower. Business is better when you do it, not because you feel like.
Oh, exactly,
you should.
Exactly, and that's another big thing as well. It's one thing to get the job as a female, but you don't. No woman wants to sit there and think, I've got this because I'm female. That's totally wrong. Yeah, that's totally the wrong way to do it. And I think there might be a lot of culprits out there that are out there to tick the boxes just because it's easy. But if you've got the job because you are the right person for the job, regardless of, you know, gender or demographic or whatever, that's the way it should be. But it's nice to see that people are hiring now with less bias, or I think that's the way to go. Yeah.
Yeah, lots of people are taking names off CVs before they go through. And there's definitely been quite a few. Amazon, I think it was Amazon, did try and write an algorithm to sift through their CVs, but it went horribly wrong and they basically rejected all the women.
Oh my God.
So, you know, maybe there might be an algorithm that can be fair in the future, but that one didn't work out so well. Yeah.
And actually, there's a thing that companies have to look out for as well. So when they're posting jobs out on job boards, there's even, you know, the way that's worded can often get more
deter.
Attention. Yeah, deter. Yeah. If it's worded with just bullet points and it's quite harsh and formal, apparently it's more likely to appeal to men. And if it's more, if it's got more, there's a word for this. My English is terrible.
I think it's like, if it's more softly, I don't know. But there's just basically some language as well around the words and, you know, sometimes it's like leadership or like, I don't know, but like, strong kind of bullish words.
I've seen rock star as well. I've seen that on a job.
So
a rock star. And you think, no, you don't.
But it's not for like a band. It's for like tech.
For tech.
If you're advertising for the Rolling Stones or something, rockstar, I get, but maybe not anything else. But yeah, it's great that people are kind of looking at and even realizing that that's a thing.
Mm.
You know, I mean, lots of us wouldn't even realize, and especially, you know, it's not like men are doing it deliberately and women don't even realize that those things deter them, but they do. And so, yeah, again, it's just being like, right, well, we shouldn't just carry on as we are and just hire more women. We just need to do things differently because equality does not equal the same. You know, let's do things a bit differently. And to do that, you need cognitive diversity. You need to be able to think differently and do things slightly differently and not just in the same way that we are now.
So that's a really nice point to end on, actually, I think. But before we go, can we get a bit more information about women in all things data and, you know, where people can find it and what's going on with that?
Absolutely. So we've got our LinkedIn group. Please just search Women in All Things Data on LinkedIn. And we post all our updates on there. We've also got our website, which is womeninallthingsdata.com. And there you can see everything that we're doing. You can, there's a link to our YouTube channel where you can watch our past events, and it will give you updates on the next events. And there's also, there'll just be a pop-up there or at the bottom. You can kind of subscribe to our newsletter as well. Yeah.
Excellent. And for anyone that's listening, I will drop all those links in the description of the podcast. But for now, thank you so much, Rhiann. It's been really, really interesting chatting to you. I know we've only really skimmed the surface with this, but it's such a huge topic. But I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed it nonetheless. So thanks so much for your time today, Rhiann.
Thank you so much. It's been great chatting. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show, give us a follow on your favourite streaming platform.